Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
This is The Athletic Football Show's Prospects to Pros.
Hello and welcome to Prospects to Pros. I am your host, Nate Tice. We are getting into All-Star season. All-Star season being not the Pro Bowl, All-Star season for the college prospects that we will be checking out, that we'll be talking about on the show. And to help me do that, to go over the Shrine Game and the Senior Bowl today, we're going to have a very special guest talking about the Senior Bowl, which we'll talk about, Jim Nagy, who is in charge of the Senior Bowl, but to also help me go over both of them. And I know he is excited for this because he is now entering his pre-Super Bowl before the Super Bowl, and then he has his actual Super Bowl, which is the draft. He's got three Super Bowls coming up. That is Dane Brugler from The Athletic. How are you doing today, Dane?
I am good, yeah. It's a fun part in the calendar. I feel like I say that a lot, but it's true.
It is, though.
It really is. I fly out in a couple of days, go to down to Dallas, East-West Shrine Games in Frisco at the Star, which is such an awesome facility. I mean, I lived in Frisco for 10 years, and to see that place blow up has been awesome. And now I'm excited to go back.
FC Dallas games, right? FC Dallas, you know, going over to that stadium.
FC Dallas, yeah. That's I lived about 5 minutes down the road from FC Dallas. But I mean, the PJ Tour is down there now.
That's right.
I mean, my first job out of college was I worked for the minor league baseball team down there, the Rough Riders, talk about a perfect first job. It was great. And then getting involved with the Cowboys a lot at Valley Ranch and then at the Star. So I've got a very great relationship with Frisco and North Texas as a whole. And I'm excited to get back down there and especially eat some of the food, get some Rudy's breakfast tacos and some of...
I'm sure you know all the spots.
Oh, I cannot wait. I mean, that's every good scout knows where to go, right? They're prepared. I'm excited. And then from Dallas, going straight to Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. So going to be a busy next 10 days or so, but can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of things to get done.
Yeah, great shout out with the PGA Frisco stuff, because I know they're going to be doing – that's going to be part of the rotation for some of the tournaments and stuff and majors. And I know they're stoked about it. At least I'm such a fake golf person. Like, I'm like a 19 handicap, but I watch it. It's more for gambling purposes.
Right.
I watch it and stuff like that, but then I'm aware, but that's what I always just, I remember FC Dallas moving there and everyone's like, oh, it's the Dallas suburbs. Then the Cowboys facility, you know, the Star and everything. Yeah. Okay. And then like you're saying, it's just like everything keeps going to Frisco and it seems like a decent area. I have not been. My parents, dad, did the NFL PA stuff. They did some training stuff there, I think last year, at the Star, and he said it was a wonderful facility. So, I'm excited to check it out. I'm not checking out this year. That Shrine Game was in Vegas the last couple of years. I was very spoiled when my commute was about 14 minutes. And I just walked in with my coffee, and then I saw the scouts getting there about a half hour later every day as they spent another day in Vegas. And I got there at the exact same time because I was a local guy. But so did not have that experience this year. But the Shrine Game's really picked up, and especially this year for both of these games, even though the other one has the name Senior Bowl, is now these All-Star games can have underclassmen. Yeah. And I think that is a very important distinction to make, even though fewer and fewer underclassmen seem to be declaring because of NIL and the transfer portal, which is probably a topic for another time. But I think we'll put a pin in that for now. But the Shrine Game has a ton of good stuff, ton of great players. A lot of good players have come out of it, including Brock Purdy, quarterback for the 49ers, was at the Shrine Game a couple years ago. But starting us off, Dane, what are you keeping an eye on and what are really focusing on? Which players once you get down there to Frisco?
Well, let's just start with the quarterbacks, right? That's absolutely. Everyone's got their eyes on the quarterbacks. You mentioned Purdy from 2 years ago, last year even, Aiden O'Connell, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, a couple of guys that were starting NFL quarterbacks this year for at least a few games.
Multi-game starters.
Right. And so will the Shrine Game have one of those guys this year? Devin Leary from Kentucky is a really interesting quarterback. He absolutely has an NFL arm. We saw that at NC State. He had such a good, 2021 season? And then got hurt 2022, transfer this past year, didn't quite have the year many expected. I know some scouts had grades in that third to fifth round range on him coming into the year. Consistency just wasn't there for him. Decision making, ball placement, things like that. So how will he show out this year or this week at Shrine practices? How will he do? That'll be big for him. Austin Reed is really interesting from Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
He replaced Bailey Zappe 2 years ago.
I love that offense.
Yeah.
It's straight air raid. it's chucking it everywhere.
So many air raid staples, right? Yes. You know, from Y Cross to that. And what you love about it, so with Reed specifically, too, he was coming from Division II. He won a national championship Division II, and then he goes to Western Kentucky, and he just picked it right up where Zappe left off. Led the FBS in passing yards last year, and then this past year led the conference in passing yards. So not super impressive physically, kind of like Bailey Zappe. You know, the arm strength, the size, the athleticism, it's more okay than great.
Yeah.
But I think he processes really well, knows where to go with the football. I think he has a very good football mind, and that's something that, especially in the interviews, and that's a big part of this all-star process, is the interview process. So those are two quarterbacks I'll be watching closely.
No, those are good ones. When I watch Western Kentucky, I just love it because it's funny is that used to not translate as much, and now more of those concepts translate when I watch an NFL game and everything. And even just mitigating some, you know, you got to get rid of the ball quick. So mitigating pressure, mitigating blitzes, having an answer and everything. I've come around on those types of offensive systems watching these quarterbacks because actually they have to come up with better answers than some of these other guys do that maybe are in more RPO heavy offenses or something of that sort. So I really enjoy watching Western Kentucky just shred the ball around. Stay on offense. Any skill guys that you're keeping an eye on at this All-Star game or any of those types? Because there's been some...
Hey, Zay every Flowers year, I felt like last always, year?
Yeah, Zay Flowers. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. He put on a little... Well, like one little showcase for about 5 minutes, and then that's all we saw that week.
A.T. Perry was there last year. I don't know if there's a receiver that I feel like is in that type of that tier. But I tell you, on the offensive line, Christian Mahogany. I'm interested to see him. Big brawling guard from Boston College. Yeah. How does he hold up? I think he's got a chance to maybe not be top 100, but close, early fourth round, and maybe, a good week at the Shrine practices boosts him a little bit. I think the top player at the game is Edrin Cooper, the linebacker from Texas A&M, who is kind of a do everything guy. I mean, he led the team in tackles for loss, sacks. He is a true four down guy, and he's long. He's got over 34 inch arms. This guy is a lot of tools to work with Cooper. So I think he was in the second round of my mock draft. He has a chance to be a top 50 player this year. So I think he's a top player. I mentioned the interviews and how important those are. Leonard Taylor, the defensive tackle from Miami, who came out early.
Yeah.
He's one of those juniors you were referring to being eligible now. He's got something to prove, both in the interviews, just as teams figure him out, but then also on the field, try to be more consistent with what he brings. So, there's some notable names to keep an eye on this week.
See Steel Chambers in there from Ohio State.
Yeah.
Texted you about him.
Yeah.
Fun
linebacker, former running back.
That was one of the funniest back and forths I think we've had. But I just got, I'm questioning about his length. And then you just went, I think you said, like, yeah, maybe sub 31 inch arms.
Yeah,
right away before you even saw my text. So, he flashed a couple times. And that's what's interesting about the Shrine game. You got some small school guys as well, plenty of FCS guys. I mean, both these all star games do. But I know this is going to be an interesting one because guys always rise up here. And some of these guys might even transition to this next bowl game we're about to talk about, which is the Senior Bowl. And now to get into the Senior Bowl, we have the man in charge, the actual guy that's doing all this work, and that's Jim Nagy. Thank you so much, Jim, for joining us. How are you doing today, Jim?
Doing great, Nate. I mean, it's been a while, man. I think the last time I saw you was at the Georgia State Pro Day when you and I were checking out old Arbuckle at quarterback
on a
cold Pro Day afternoon.
He had a good CFL career. Me and you looked at each other like, hey, he ran that workout well. I He's still stuck with me. I went to the AAF and I tried to get him signed. He was like, "Hey, I'm sorry, I'm still with the CFL, so I'm sorry I can't do it." But he's stuck with me. So that
one,
is the
one
last
of my
time.
Favorite. One of my favorite dudes of all time. Love that guy. Love what he was made of. Glad he had a, you know. Is he still playing? But
I don't know.
Anyway, it's good seeing you, and Dane. It's good seeing you, man.
Yeah, well, thanks. Oh, man. Thanks so much for joining us. First question is, I think, more of a process question for you and really your staff. You know, we've seen such a dramatic shift in how college football operates and how the league, specifically scouts, how they have to adapt. So between the COVID year, transfer portal, NIL, it's not that any of those things are good or bad. It's just it creates a ripple effect that NFL teams have to adapt and change how they do their jobs. And so for the Senior Bowl specifically, how has the changing landscape affected how you guys do your job and how you get the best talent to Mobile?
That's a great question, man. You said we only have 15 minutes. I don't know how I'm going to answer this thing. Man, sometimes I get verbose when I talk too. So, it changes a lot of things, man. Again, like, there's just a lot of different factors at play. Once we get through the extra COVID year thing, that'll make it a little bit easier. I think right now, just even tracking players is difficult. Like, even on the team side, I mean, here we are, the Senior Bowl. I mean, these billion-dollar franchises are having a hard time figuring out who's in this draft and who's not in this draft. I mean, last night I went to add a defensive back, and I, you know, when we get to this point in the year and we got to fill a roster spot, like I screenshotted four tags. We had a clump on the board, and I just screenshotted and sent it to, like, you know, 15 buddies around the league to get their thoughts. And the guy that was kind of the, you know, the 1A or 1B for everybody, they're like, you know, Jim, he might be hurt. One of the guys was like, he might be hurt. So I called his head coach and I'm like, you know what, where's this guy at? You know, we're trying to reach out to him. And he's like, oh man, he hurt his foot. He's coming back for another year. I'm like, I didn't know that. And none of the teams knew that either. So, but yeah, it's created a lot. And then for us, you know, process wise, Dane, I would say the junior thing this year was made it a little different. You know, we had a heads up from the league office in August. So our scouts were out in the fall evaluating all those guys. We built the board with the junior, so it didn't catch us off guard. But in terms of, like, inviting the players, I'll have to go back after this year and kind of, you know, self-scout and see if we did it the right way. I've actually apologized to some of the players who've added recently. Like, guys, maybe I didn't navigate this thing right. I don't know. But, like, for the running back spot, you know, we've got 8 running back spots. I only invited 4 seniors. You know, we held 4 spots for juniors just because that's usually a junior-heavy position.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of those guys didn't come out. I mean, you've like Travion Henderson at Ohio State, we thought would come out. He went back. I mean, he just comes to mind. And then there were some guys that didn't get the Senior Bowl invite that went back to school, like jumped in the portal, like Woody Marks from Mississippi State jumps mm-hmm. in the portal, goes to USC. When we circled back in January, if Woody Marks weren't at USC, we would have invited him, you know, but like, so it just made for a really different year, way more fluid process. I mean, we used to be yeah. kind of locked into our roster in early December and feel pretty good about it. I mean, now you're taking this thing into January, and it just changed a lot.
I bet it has. I know we just even looking at the quarterback situation, some of these guys, Dane and I have talked about guys that would go on day 3 or battling for a day 2 pick maybe, are now just going, hey, I'll transfer. Hey, yeah. I'll just head back to school. So it kind of leaves that. I mean, Cam Ward's the guy that I feel like mm-hmm. Dane and I talked about for a month going, like, he might transfer here, but he actually might be a prospect that we have to talk about too. So,
there's one for you. I mean, I was at Kansas State in early November, given an invite to Ben Sennett, their tight end. And Will Howard was there that day. Those two guys are like best friends. And Will was really struggling with what to do. And, you know, he really wanted to come to the Senior Bowl. And I'm like, Will, you got to, like, give me a little bit of time here because there's, you know, there's J.J. McCarthy. There's, you know, I'm trying to go through all the junior quarterbacks that, you know, we could have gotten. I'm like, if you can just be patient, like, we love you. Like, I mean, I helped Will get into the Manning camp this summer. I actually, like, reached out to Archie. I've never done that before and, like, went to bat for him. That's how much I think of Will Howard. And then when we got to the point where, like, okay, like, McCarthy's playing in the championship game. Like, that's probably not going to happen. You know, Jaden Daniels wasn't going to, you know, do an all-star game. So I'm like, okay, we got a spot. I called Will and he's like, Jim, oh my gosh, man. He's like, I'm on a plane to Columbus today. And so again, that's, you know, that's for that kid. I mean, that changed the course of Will Howard's life path, right?
Mm-hmm,
like absolutely. Now he's going to be an Ohio State Buckeye and he wouldn't have been in Ohio. Like under a normal year, if we could have just picked the top 6 or 8 senior quarterbacks, Will Howard would have been one of them. I'm a big fan. We had a fourth round grade on Will Howard. But because of the mechanics of this year, he's going to be in Columbus next year. So, and again, maybe next year he comes out and he's a second round pick and he helps himself in the draft process. I hope that's the case. But there's some stories like that, that, man, there's a lot going on that I don't think a lot of people realize.
You couldn't get the Senior Bowl Booster Collective to get that NIL deal up there. that's probably how it defers. But the quarterbacks that did are going to this. I mean, it's a super interesting crop of guys. Do you want to? I just wanted to ask, like, dive into this group of quarterbacks, because I think it's just an intriguing class. Outside, obviously, there's been kind of a consensus too, but really it's kind of three. But right now, it's a really wide open battle, it seems to be, especially with these day two guys and a lot of guys that you have at the Senior Bowl. So talk about the quarterbacks that you have there, Jim.
You know, let's just start with Bo Nix and Michael Penix. I mean, there's players at every position at the start of every year that in the back of your mind, you're like, we need to get these guys. If we're going to have a good Senior Bowl, and this thing's going to be what the NFL wants, and we have to get them. And Bo Nix and Michael Penix were certainly two of those guys. So we're fired up. I mean, it's a really cool homecoming for Bo Nix, being an in-state guy and winning back-to-back state titles here. His dad just won another one. So that's a really cool homecoming. Michael Penix, I just can't wait for the NFL. Right. The guys that haven't seen him throw live, to see him throw live. I think he's going to help himself there. And those guys were like two of the faces of college football this year. So so those are good ones. I think every draft cycle, there's guys that the media is higher on than the NFL or vice versa. And I would say, just based off conversations in the mm-hmm. league, I'd say right now that guy's Spencer Rattler. The NFL is really fired up to see Spencer down here. He did a lot of good things at South Carolina this year, movement-wise, right. That, again, kind of a byproduct of, you know, some protection issues, not to throw anyone under the bus, but, that, you know, he had to move a little more than he's had to move in the past, and he showed he could do it. And it surprised me. So, you know, Michael Pratt's a guy that I think is going to be an NFL starter. I mean, I don't know how much you want to dive into these guys, but I think Pratt's going to be a starter. I think Joe Milton's going to blow people away with his arm talent down here. And again, not to say he's going to be the fourth overall pick in the draft like Anthony Richardson. I'm not making that comparison for that reason. But like, if Anthony went fourth overall, these people that think Joe Milton's going to like fall in this draft really far, like fall, it's not going to happen. Yeah. He's a big man. He's very athletic. He has a rocket for an arm. Like somebody's going to want to work with that. So, Sam Hartman had a much easier year to evaluate this year at Notre Dame with not a lot of people around him. You would think, oh, Notre Dame, well, they didn't have a lot of great skill people. They're in the portal right now trying to get guys for Riley Leonard. So, it should be a really fun week. Quarterbacks always drive the bus. So like for ESPN and NFL Network, those guys will be great to, kind of push our week.
That's a great point about Rattler, too, in the offensive line. They had a different starting five on the offensive line combination, like 9 of 12 games or something like that. I mean, he didn't have any time to throw, especially in the SEC.
NFL pockets. That's what we'll call it.
Yeah, right.
There you go. What it's about.
That's so what it's about.
From the summer until now. So, I mean, you guys build your initial board, who's on the radar. Who are some of the guys that have made the biggest jump for you guys? I know, you know, for me, Darius Robinson, Missouri, one of those guys. He's always looked the part, now playing more outside, you know, that six technique, and he's playing the part too. He's just a tough guy to block. And so who are some of those guys that made the biggest jump for you guys?
I'll say this about Darius, man. I had an interesting interaction with him at the SEC Media Days. He was right on the cut line for us last year, like fifth, sixth round. And he came up to me, and again, you talk about looking the part now. But he, in the way he asked it, he was like, Jim, what held you back last year from inviting me to the Senior Bowl? So it was pretty cool. I love Darius. I can't wait to get him here. I would say the biggest movers last year, our biggest mover on offense from the beginning, from summer to the end, was Darnell Wright, and he ended up being our highest draft pick. He was the 10th overall pick. This year, it was Xavier Leggett. The receiver, Spencer Rattler's main go-to guy. And and again, like, I don't like talking about stats too much, but I mean, think about this. The guy had 167 yards receiving last year in the entire season. And then he comes out against North Carolina in week one and has 178. His yards per catch went from like 9 yards a catch to 17 yards a catch. So, I mean, he wasn't even on the radar. I mean, frankly, we were watching guys like starter level guys over the summer. We were watching guys that were running down on kick cover and returning kicks and like doing gunner stuff. So no, he was a big one. I'm trying to think on the defensive side of the ball. Marist Lufau from Notre Dame kind of came out of nowhere. We weren't really on Marist. Just trying to think of some other guys off the top of my head. I mean, those are a couple guys, but you give me time, a couple more will pop in.
That's good. Well, talk about risers too. Even just this is more risers, maybe in just the consensus of people that are now entering. I always say the Eye of Sauron is moving to the draft season right now. We're going for the normal season, not the normal fan. Any small school guys, these all-star games are great for these FCS guys or lower to really showcase themselves. So any small school guys that you want to highlight, that can kind of be related to the riser question, but really just anyone from those kind of ranks at this game that you really want to highlight.
Yeah. And also even back to when I was scouting, I love the Senior Bowl because of the small school element. I think that's been one of the greatest parts of our game for a long time. Unfortunately, the portal has really taken a toll on that. And it's happened almost overnight. We were averaging, 9 or 10 small school, sub FBS players my first 5 years, and this year I think we're at 4. It is, and we had to be really intentional about it. Dylan Laube at New Hampshire, the running back, Isaiah Davis, another running back from South Dakota State, but like Willie Drew, a corner from Virginia State, it's a pretty good cornerback class in my opinion. The way our board fell out, there's some good depth at the cornerback spot. But Willie Drew's our smallest school guy this year. He's a Division II guy from Georgia State or Virginia State. And what I loved about him is his competitiveness. I've seen these players through a little bit different lens in this role than when I was in the NFL. I've been really in tune with how these guys show up in Mobile and if they're wired right for it. Because what I wasn't really aware of before I got here was just the anxiety for all the players, right? You would think that some of these guys coming from like Alabama and Ohio State and Michigan, these programs, that it wouldn't be like that. But even in some of our Hall of Fame inductions over the last few years, like Cam Jordan talked about coming here from Cal and like having no confidence. Like he knew he was a good Pac-12 player, but he did not know how he stacked up across the rest of the draft.
Sure, his dad too.
His dad play with your dad?
Yeah, they did. There you go. Yep, way back in the day.
So like when I hear stories like that, like there's nerves for these guys, right? Yeah. And I've noticed it more for our small school players, and so getting Willie on the phone and talking to him before and just like talking through that, like, and the way he plays, man, like he plays with some swag about him. So I don't think this is going to be too big for Willie Drew. Really competitive guy with good ball skills. So he's the guy that could show up during the week. I'm excited to see.
Houston Christian kid, Hunt. It's going to be good to see him with that length and explosiveness, and obviously a great story being a former safety from Cornell and all that. So yeah, another good group of small school guys.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Last question for me. If I told you that just got off my time machine and the highest drafted player from your game was Tyler Guyton, what would your reaction be?
I would say you jumped on the right time machine. I just got off another podcast with Gabe Eichert at University of Oklahoma. And he sent me practice clips of Guyton a couple years ago, but he does things you can't coach. You guys know. You see guys that are – he's just different. And, again, he got kind of log-jammed there at Oklahoma behind Anton Harrison and Wanya Morris, who was down here last year. And if not for that, if for not only having, like, 5 career starts, he could have jumped last year and probably been a first-round pick. And the reason he's coming down here, I'll give credit to his agent. Like, there would be some agents that would tell Tyler that, he doesn't need to come here. He's going to be a first-round draft pick. He's going to get Olufoshanu and Joe Alt. I'll tell you that. And those two guys are great players, and taking nothing away from them. I'm not saying this because they're not in the Senior Bowl at all. I think they're great players. They check all the boxes. They're going to be great pros. But if you talk about ceiling of a player, I mean, Tyler Guyton now, he's different. He reminds me, I've said it before, he reminds me of Tyron Smith. when he was coming out, when he was coming out of USC. I mean, this guy's got all pro ability, and we'll see. He floats, man. He floats on a football field for a guy that size. So really excited to see him down here.
It's funny you say that because I thought about the same kind of transition. Guy with not a lot of starts, okay, but you're just betting on the traits and everything, and especially, like you said, stuff you can't coach, especially at the tackle position. It's like, yeah, like we talk about height, weight, speed for receivers and corners. It's a lot of times, it's like when you look at the tackles and look how they're able to recover, he's able to do that. So I'm kind of glad that Dane got to shout him out. My last question for you, though, Jim, before Dane had to hop off there, was any players, like we talk about sometimes we see this offensive line, maybe a tackle bumps over and we trains a whole week at center, you know, or you have a safety playing at linebacker or vice or something like that. Are there any players that you maybe have a pin on that might do some cross training this week that we should keep an eye on, or any guys that maybe are just the highlight at a different position, maybe doing some reps there, one-on-one, something of that sort?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Jaheim Bell from Florida State is like the ultimate Swiss Army knife in this year's draft in terms of, like, you know, he did running back stuff at South Carolina. He can play fullback. He's done some, you know, some F. He looks like a big wideout. So he'll do some, you know, we'll be able to move him around. I think Dylan Lobby from New Hampshire, if we get in a jam at wideout, I think he can legitimately play wide receiver.
Okay.
Maybe the coolest one is Sione Vaki from Utah. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that was a two-way player.
Slash. In
Utah. I mean, we could play him at running back. We could play him at safety. And Jeremy Newberry, who former NFL player, great NFL center, Jeremy coached him in high school, and he said he's the best high school receiver he's ever seen.
Okay.
So I'm like, Jeremy, I'm like, could we play him at some slot? And he was like, heck yeah, you could play him at some slot. So, like, that's a cool guy. And then, like, James Williams, the junior safety from Miami, is going to be here primarily as a linebacker. Now, he'll bump back and do some safety work, but the league wants to see him at linebacker. So we'll do some of that stuff. But yeah, there's more and more, but those are a few names.
Awesome. No, Vaki. Oh, I forgot that he's going. That's a great one. Because I don't know what I like him best at. So I really don't. Because I was going to ask you, and I was like, man, I don't even know what I would prefer. So I don't know if I want to ask you that question. So that's such a great shout, too. No, but the other thing, this is my last question, is the one thing I've really liked that this All-Star game has been doing, all the All-Star games, especially you guys, is having some of the assistant coaches kind of lead the way during the week and kind of, like, you know, running things and kind of getting their reps from these NFL teams. How's the experience with that been? Like, is that kind of do you see these coaches coming in pretty, you know, rearing to go to kind of show their, you know, prove their mettle to all the, like, kind of their peers and show what they could do to run the show or anything of that sort?
Absolutely. No, it's been cool. You know, when the league office first told us they were going to move to that format, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't happy at all. We had the full staffs for 73 years, right?
Right.
And I don't know, your dad probably coached in it, but, you know, and it was a big selling point for us. And again, one of the reasons, I mean, operationally, the thing we took for granted all those years was that when they jumped on the team charter, video guys came with them, equipment guys came with them, athletic trainers came with them. Now we got to farm all that stuff out. But
that's a huge point to bring up, though. I didn't know that. That's a huge thing, because the whole operation would just go. You're basically just having spring ball for the team, usually, like, just move there. I know. That's a great point to bring up, though.
This is a much heavier lift internally.
Yeah.
Give our director of football, our operations, Jack Gilmore, a shout out. He's doing a great job.
Yeah.
But going back to last year, going through it the first year with the assistants from the non-playoff teams, it was I thought it was great, man. You know, again, rather than having just two teams behind the scenes, like getting some real intimate knowledge of our players during the week and in meeting rooms, at meals, you know, riding bus to the stadium for practice, that was half the league. Half the league was down. We had 16 teams down here last year. I think this year we have 18. That's awesome. you've got individuals from all these different clubs reporting back to their building, and they're going to be in draft meetings. And, you know, I would think smart GMs are going to, you know, tap into that. Mm-hmm. And that's a benefit for our guys. I mean, that's what I told all the agents last year is, you know what, this is honestly, it's a heavier lift for us, but I think it's going to be a good thing for your players because they're going to be exposed to so many more people in the NFL.
And I think so many of those younger coaches are, like I said, geared up to, like, kind of show themselves. It's their first time they have the show. So they're like, hey, no, this is what I can do. So they're going to prove it and bring it.
Nate, and you know this, man. Like, yes, that's part of it. They're chomping at the bit to get their own room and all that. A lot of these guys are assistant position coaches. But like Jeff Ulbrich and Terrell Williams getting the bump from coordinator to head coach. But the coolest thing behind the scenes last year was to see the networking taking place on the coaching staff. Like, we do a big coaching dinner out there. The guys are all coming in on Saturday, and we'll do a big coaches dinner for all, you know, all 35 guys. And a lot of these younger coaches, man, this is the building they're in right now is the only building they've ever been in. So they don't have a big network of guys in the league, right? Like, a lot of these guys just came from college, or, you know, so they're your QC level guys. So this is they're among their peers, younger guys. They don't know a lot of people. So this is, you know, you're around people for a week. Like, you can get close. So, I mean, these are going to be
relationships. It's like training camp.
Yeah, it's like training camp. No doubt. You're in the bunker for a week with these guys. So like, you know, 5 years from now, and some of these guys are getting, you know, coordinator interviews, or 10 years from now, they're getting head coaching interviews. Who knows? Maybe some of those relationships started here in Mobile. So that's a cool part of it as well.
What's the line? The draft starts here in Mobile. It's like, hey, the coaching rooms start here in Mobile. that staff you're going to see put together in about 12 years, that started there in Mobile, but those staffs got together. That's such a good point, though, because it's a people league. It's a people business. I mean, that's what it is. And I think a lot of times we have frustrations when people get hired. They're like, why are they hiring this guy? It's like, because he knows them and trusts them. But like you said, the point that you brought up is the thing, is that it's hard to get outside of your quote unquote tree. And this is a great opportunity to do that. So that's such a good point. But Jim, I know how busy you are, and I know how crazy of a time period this is, but I can't thank you enough for taking the time to join us. I think this was awesome. But Jim, where can we follow you on Twitter and follow Senior Bowl updates or anything else that anybody listening to the show wants to hear about? Because the Senior Bowl starts next week, everyone. It goes championship game. We're getting ready to the Senior Bowl, and then we're ripping and roaring to draft season. So get ready.
follow along at Senior Bowl. We do everything off Senior Bowl Twitter. So any roster updates, anything like that, if people are following along, they'll know within 1 or 2 minutes when it happens. We basically try to do things in real time. So give us a follow next week. We'll have a lot of unique content up there.
You guys have been doing a great job. So, you know, keep it up. It's been fantastic to watch that game grow, especially the last couple of years once you've been taking over. I'm not just blowing smoke up there. So I've really, truly made that, Jim. So thank you again for joining us. Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate Absolutely. You having me on.
Thank you guys so much. And thank you to Jim for joining us. And thank you to everybody for listening to Prospects Pros. As always, we will be here every single week. We will be recapping, giving updates to these All-Star games next week. And then draft season rolls on. We'll see you guys then.
This was the Athletic Football Show's Prospects to Pros podcast.